What are we going to do as a church? Our souls need to wake up. We need to respond to the gospel of Jesus. He said, go into the world.
We don't want to deal with reality, Christian. We don't even want to deal with reality, even though we've been saved from this place.
I'm calling on you today in the name of Jesus to rise up to the call of God. Christ is coming back soon.
If I start telling people about hell, I might just scare them off. Where are you going to scare them off to? Hell number two? People stop thinking about it. If hell really exists, and it does, I didn't say that Jesus did, then don't you think people need to know about it? Can't you at least give them a fighting chance? Or are you just going to sit there and let them burn?
This is Chris from Don't Let Them Burn. I'm here with my partner, Rory.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Don't Let Them Burn.
All right. And if you want to reach us, you can reach us on don'tletthemburn.com. You can reach us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, and other social media platforms. If you want to donate to us, you could donate through Patreon or Fundly. We need our help with our movie that we're making and a couple other projects, some equipment. If you feel led to do that, then please do so. And also, check out the YouTube and like, subscribe, and share, because this is how people will get to hear the message. If you like this message, share. Now tonight we have a special guest, Mr. Brian Kinney. He was on our show before talking about the reprobate mind, and now he's back on part two of our program about the martial arts. Many of you people don't know, I would suspect that some do, but many people don't know that the martial arts, you know, is a spiritual activity, not just a physical form of defending yourself. But before that, Rory, want to say something?
Yes, I just want to welcome everybody back to our show. And we did, like you said, we did a part of this. We hope that you just continue tuning in, continue praying for us as we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. In what we do, I can testify to that about even our guest, Brother Kinney, who's on the other side. And just look forward to hearing your great comments from the shows that we have done as we move forward.
All right. So without further ado, Mr. Kinney, how are you doing?
Doing just great. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful this afternoon. And nice, bright, sunny day. So I think we're going to have a good conversation. And you know what? Thank everyone out there for all the comments you've been leaving and the emails and the encouragement, too. Thank you for leaving those. And don't stop. Just keep asking your questions. All right. So, Kinney, so I guess we're going to go into where you came from and your dealings with the martial arts.
Before we do that, can we just have a word of prayer?
Yes.
Brother Kinney, you want to lead us?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And dear Lord God, we just ask you to bless this program. We ask you to bless the listeners so that when they hear what's being given to them, they will be fertile soil and allow the word to be understood through the Holy Spirit. And that you would guide each and every single one of us, Father, that we, Lord, will be your representatives and ambassadors here upon this earth, and that the message that we give will represent you well. Father, we just praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right. So, Mr. Kinney, what has been your experience?
Okay. Well, first off, I got involved in the martial arts in the early 70s. This was in my college days, and I continued till around the mid-80s, which was right around the time that I found the Lord Jesus Christ. In a nutshell, let me just say that I was also heavily involved in the occult. And I have a way that I look at the occult, and I define it as people trying to manipulate forces. In the martial arts, even though we used a lot of physical exercise, a lot of stretching. I even participated in tournaments. But ultimately, it was about what we called the Kundalini. It was a method of controlling forces. My instructor, I had a personal instructor at one time, and he had me read a lot of books from various yogi masters, and a lot of these books focused on breathing. I spent hours with him in meditation, and this was all a part of the martial art training. It is definitely a lot of discipline involved. It is definitely a lot of exercise involved, but ultimately it's the control of forces. Now, if you ever watch a martial artist when they break, say, bricks, for instance, if they do it improperly, it's painful. But if they do it properly, they feel no pain whatsoever, not because they have desensitized their hands, which to a certain extent, that may be true because you're hitting. I would spend hours running my hands into sand and rocks, hitting bricks and things. But it was controlling of force. It was about having this force or this energy that actually did the breaking. That's what you were trying to achieve, was to have this energy. That's why you'll see sometimes they'll talk about, or you will actually see, and I've seen this myself, where someone who has mastered this energy or force could touch the bricks and they'll break. And when you have gotten to a certain level, and I did reach a level to where I could break things and I felt it was no pain because I didn't hurt. I was no longer using pure force. It was an energy that would break those bricks. It was an energy that would be a part of your power, would be the power that you're using. So the discipline, part of the discipline of the martial arts is to learn to utilize forces. So to me, the martial arts was also very occultic. Now, that doesn't take away the fact that there are some physical benefits, because whenever you're exercising, you're going to have physical benefits. Certain disciplines, like if you go into jiu-jitsu or judo, which I'd spent a little time dealing with that, where forces are not as much emphasized. Well, whereas there, it's dealing with joints, it's dealing with throws. But even there, when you go through your exercises, you're learning how to tap into what they call your ki. And your ki is really their way of manipulating forces. There's a very popular cartoon out right now. Well, I don't know how popular it is, but it used to be, I think it was called Dragon Ball Z. And if you watch that cartoon, they're tapping into this energy and this force, and they call it ki. Well, actually, that is what martial arts are doing. They're trying to tap into this thing they call it ki, and it is a real energy. It's real. It's not fake. Okay, even though you'll find people mastering it at different degrees, and it really is a part of the occult, and quite frankly, it is very dangerous when you're talking about the spiritual realm. Pretty much that's my experience with the martial arts, is that it's very occultic in the sense that you're taught to manipulate forces.
Right, and these are some of the aspects we touched on in the last show. The ki, the dao, the tao, the prana, all of them mean the same thing. The force, the universe, what's the other one? The law of attraction, all of them come back to the same thing.
Yes, it's funny how the names have been changed to protect the guilty. And yes, the chi or the ki, whatever you want to call it, it all goes back to Hinduism, like you were saying. And you find out that there's this hidden force that people are trying to manage, and they don't know where this force comes from. Yes, there is force. Yes, there is power. But this power has a source. It comes from a source. And the source is not the source of our God, but it's the source of devils or demons.
Yeah, but you won't know that unless you understand the word of God.
Right.
Because martial arts is very deceptive.
Mm-hmm. And I agree.
It's not as obvious when you first begin that you're actually dealing with the occult, and you don't even aren't aware that you're learning how to manipulate forces, but as you begin to get more involved, it becomes more and more evident, especially depending on how much you go in to the spiritual aspect of it.
Yeah. Isn't this how all of these systems are built up? You get in somewhat innocent, and the higher you reach, the higher levels you reach, then you start to see who's the real master.
That is correct. Yeah, it can get very violent on some levels, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some violence activity in that area with some people. And you know, when you start really getting into the fighting portion of it, it can be a very violent sport.
Mm-hmm. That's what we got used to in the Sunday, Kung Fu Sunday or Kung Fu Saturday, whatever it was. It was mostly, we got attracted to it mostly because of the violence. Oh, look what these guys can do. Oh, man, look at that. Five Fingers of Death and all these, different colorful shows that had a real spiritual aspect to it, but we didn't know then, you know?
That is correct.
Rory?
Yes. It's sort of like a lodge to the initiate. He's seeking how to better himself, maybe physically, or how to be he wants to be able to defend himself and so on and so forth. But as time progresses, he finds out that this is a lot deeper. This is embraces New Age belief. It embraces Hinduism, Shintoism, a lot of different things that you find yourself being drug off the beaten path.
Absolutely.
Right. We mentioned last time about the quintessence, and I still have a few quotes I never went over in the first show. And one definition of the quintessence is what it says here. And by the ancient Greeks, it was the force which was through to fill the universe and hold all things together. But we know that in the Bible, it says that Jesus Christ holds all things together.
Absolutely. And you can develop disciplines in fighting or exercise that does not involve the occult. If you go through the Bible, you'll see that a lot of David's mighty men were mighty warriors. Well, they didn't get that way without practice.
Yeah.
But this martial arts taps into that Eastern Hinduistic yogi mindset, where it is not about just physical development. It's about tapping into these forces. And like you said, they have different names. It's just that the group that I am, we call it Kundalini, but there's other names. And this energy was not just a power within, it was a power without.
Yeah.
And part of the meditation process was to tap in to those forces.
Yeah. I have another quote here. It says, in striving to enter the proper frame of mind, Zen meditation is of great importance. The man who wants to walk the way of karate cannot afford to neglect Zen and spiritual training. That's from Mas Oyama.
Yeah. See, now this, let me kind of, in my early beginning of taking the martial arts, this was on my college campus. They didn't talk about meditation or things, but the more I got involved, I was actually led to someone who was a martial arts master. Mm-hmm. And he became my instructor one-on-one, and he was developing his own martial arts style. Now, through him, it was way more than just physical exercise. That's where I started getting into reading all these books by all these guys named Yoga. Everybody was some kind of Yoga Ramakashi, something or the other. And I had to learn how to breathe properly. And we would sit in our room and we would just meditate for hours at a time. Okay. Wow. Meditation became an instrumental part of the training. His thing was what he called no mind, meaning that you are supposed to be able to react without thinking and react properly. Okay?
Wow.
It was a very intense period of my life, but I didn't really understand the occultic nature of it once again until I began to study the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Even though I was involved with the occult, having nothing to do with the martial arts.
Right.
But they kind of were tied in one into the other.
So what did the Word of God reveal to you about all of this? You know, when did you come about that basic inspiration that this is this stuff that I was into, or the martial arts, was not of God?
Well, first off, when you read the Old Testament, they begin to tell you point blank that you're not supposed to be involved with any types of cult. They even list numerous different occultic practices, many of which are part of the martial arts. So right there, you get your clue. But the problem that I had was that when I first got involved with the church, I have to admit, I got involved with what is called the Word of Faith movement. The Word of Faith movement and the occult are so tied in that I sort of gravitated to that. And I remember one day saying, wow, they really understand how to deal with these forces without going through all these gyrations and machinations, so to speak, that you see in the occultic world or even in the martial arts. They began to, they define faith as force.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah,
okay, that is a clear definition. They use Hebrews 11, I think it's verse 3, as their proof text that God used the energy of faith to create the universe.
Wow.
And that we have the power to tap into that energy. And the way we tap into it is through, they don't use the term positive confession. They use speak it into existence, calling those things that are not as though they were. Whatever you hear, that's an occultic practice adopted by the Word of Faith movement. And now it's kind of infiltrated the church on many levels. Listen to a lot of the songs. You'll hear them say, we are to call those things that are not as though they were. You might hear someone say it while they're praying, Father, you know, help us to call those things that are not as though they were. Most of these people think there's actually a verse in the Bible that says that we are to call things that are not as though they were. Okay, you'll hear them on TV, some of these TV ministers. They'll say, God tells us that we are to call those things are not as though they were. They're totally misinterpreting the scriptures.
Yeah, speak it into existence.
Exactly.
All right. A lot of people don't know that the founders of the Word of Faith movement are directly tied to Hinduism. Directly. And it's a long stream of teachers, but I don't have all the names in front of me. And it gets weird very fast.
It gets weird very fast. But I will tell you, they don't believe that they're... that they are in the occult. I was at a convention and Fred Price was there, and he went on a rant about Dr. Martin, because Dr. Martin had just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he was angry because Dr. Martin claimed that he was in the occult. He says, I'm not into the occult. He said, the occult is evil. I don't practice it. I don't know why this man said it. He said the reason he died early is because he didn't speak life into his life.
So I guess when Fred Price finally, you know, goes into eternity, he didn't have enough faith or didn't speak enough stuff into his life to keep him alive?
Well, Fred Price had an awakening when his wife got cancer.
Mm.
So his teaching has slightly changed a little bit when she went through that cancer period.
Okay.
He hasn't gone away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But he had some explaining to do. Because his wife wasn't supposed to get cancer. Fred Price used to say that if I'm on an airplane and you're with me, you do not have to worry about that airplane ever crashing because I'm there.
Oh, my goodness. So he's God.
No, that's not what he was saying.
What did he say?
He was saying that he has learned how to use the principles of faith to prolong life, to heal the sick, to bring prosperity and finances to himself.
There's a lot wrong there.
Absolutely. You wouldn't know that unless you'd have to pay attention to more than just a handful of messages, because some of his teaching is very sound.
Right.
But when it gets to that area, and that's where a lot of these Word of Faith teachers are, is that they are really teaching the occulted practice of manipulating forces. And in this case, the force they're teaching you to manipulate is what they label as faith.
Right.
And I will say this, this was, believe it or not, that was a connection to me to the martial arts, but not only to the martial arts, because see, I've been in sales pretty much all my life, and especially in the 80s when we purchased our first real estate franchise. One of the things that you're going to find being taught in the sales community, and when you run in those circles, whether it be real estate, whether it be network marketing, whether it be cemetery property, you name it, whatever they're selling, you're going to find that there is a faction that adopts the same principles of manipulating faith, only they'll talk about it as the secret, the laws of attraction.
Right, right.
Okay, and there's two schools of those that talk about the law of attraction. Those that are occultic, and they really mean that you're going to be learning Hinduistic laws of attraction. And there's another group that they don't mean it that way. What they simply mean is that if you are a positive person, you're going to, the chances are you're going to be around more positive people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I see a lot of church people following this too.
Most of the church people that are doing this are following the occultic portion of it.
Yep.
They're really borrowing from the Word of Faith movement.
Yeah.
And they're twisting, they'll even quote scriptures that the Word of Faith movement uses to verify their point. Especially when that's why you have this prosperity movement that was so strong. I don't know how strong it is now, but it was, at one point, it was really a strong movement.
Well, yeah. You left on some, you made some very valid points about the Word of Faith movement and how these people sort of, they have interwoven it into the church. You know, one of the things that I used to hear was live your best life now. That's a book. There's another one that says what? The power of positive thinking. And these are things that these men came up, these are terms that they coined, that they used to infiltrate the church. And before you know it, the gospel or Jesus Christ and what he has done has been removed or diminished. And it's wrong.
Definitely diminished. But a lot of people still get saved through the Word of Faith food because they don't understand what's being taught. But a lot of these churches go way beyond even the Word of Faith movement. Like Dr. Schiller, for instance, he went beyond the Word of Faith movement. Dr. Schiller, and there's another one, he was even before Schiller, I can't remember his name, gosh, he puts out this magazine called Guideposts.
Okay, no.
And the magazine is still out. But anyway, they were really into the positive, they called it, the term that they used was a positive thinking movement.
Yep.
Okay. Both of them considered, in fact, one of the things that I had an issue with Trump in the early part, because he was saying his pastor, the guy whose name I can't remember, I'm having a senior moment with, he said that was his pastor when he was growing up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. And I just, for some reason, I think but the magazine that he puts out is called Guidepost. He's not alive anymore. He's been dead for a while. And I just can't think of his name.
Mm. Are you talking about the pastor over the Crystal Cathedral?
No.
Well, Schiller was the one over the Crystal Cathedral, but there was another guy that was even before Schiller.
I can't remember him.
Yeah. Schiller, the Crystal Cathedral was absolutely into that. Many of the principles taught by the Word of Faith movement, he also taught, but he went way beyond what the Word of Faith movement. The Word of Faith movement tried to stay in line with the Word of God. Schiller didn't mind at all deviating completely.
Are you talking about the Bill Hybels?
No, but he's in that group, but this guy was before right. them. I just can't think of his name right now.
Right.
So this is all interesting how, you know, this stuff infiltrated the church. You know, because, I mean, in the regular world, you know, people are going to sinners are going to do what sinners do. You know, they're going to get into all sorts of things. And, you know, this whole martial arts culture came in around the 60s. At the same time, Hinduism was coming in with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and Merv Griffin and the Beatles and all these other people that went along with this movement. And now it's flooded everywhere. It's taken over the, and when I say it, I'm talking about the whole Eastern mindset, Buddhism, Hinduism, that goes along with the martial arts and everything, Christian yoga. And it's, I don't see, I mean, I know some of these people are just, they don't have a clue, and they think some of this stuff is just exercise, just, but I mean, if the yogis are telling you that you can't separate Hinduism from yoga, and yoga from Hinduism, it's one and the same, then, you know.
Okay, the gentleman I was speaking with was Norman Vincent Peale.
Okay.
And many people, because he talks about faith and prayer and the Bible a lot, and he considered himself a Christian. But him and Schiller, if you really listen to them, what they use the Bible as a means to teach Eastern concepts, Eastern mysticism, and mainly it's centered around putting money in your pocket.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, now that you brought that up, even you would hear some of this, and this is one of the things that we heard for a long time, sowing a seed.
Yes.
You hear them say, okay, go ahead and sow a seed, you know, and it will come back to you 100-fold, 50-fold. But when we look in scripture, the seed is actually the word of God. There's nothing about money, you know. It was just the word of God. And this is something that they've used for a long time to lead people astray. And it's critical that people also, how they become not deceived is by renewing their mind with God's word.
Renewing your mind with God's word. That's a very important. And a lot of things start to, you know, get clear.
Yeah, in fact, there was a whole movement that they called the Seed of Faith movement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and but the many of those in that movement got busted, and some of them went to jail.
Yeah.
Because they were all about the money. I mean, to the point that they'll tell you, you have to sow in good soil, and I'm good soil, so send me your money.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard so many horror stories, people giving away their whole life savings to these people. Then when they get sick, they can't take care of themselves. Their family can't take care of them. All the money's gone because they sowed a seed.
Exactly. The people getting richer and richer are those who are standing up telling you to send them their money.
Yeah. I think you laid out some very important points there, though, how the subtlety of the enemy and how these things are so simple, but you can be led astray. And I you know what? And here is the power of God. You also said this. You see, this word of faith movement has, you know, God has also drawn people out of that. You know, look at us, all of us. We can actually say at one point we were walking in total darkness, but the beauty of God, the beauty and the power of his word, that he is able to draw us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. I was also wanted to do martial arts, but every time I tried, there was a blockage. I was not allowed. The Lord did not allow me to participate. And, you know, although I wasn't in martial arts, I was in the world, but he also was able to pull me from that too.
I understand, but the martial arts has a huge draw, like you said, for different people, for different reasons. It could be for people wanting to defend themselves. It could be because a person just wants to develop more discipline. People want to get in better shape. There's just a lot of reasons for people initially getting involved. But ultimately, when you're in real martial arts, you're into it's a type of yoga in a sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because there's many disciplines of yoga. You will not get deep into the martial arts without studying yoga and studying the various disciplines of yoga. Because there's the physical discipline, there's the mental discipline, and there's about three or four different disciplines of yoga, maybe more than that. I can't remember because it's been so long. And the martial arts taps into that physical portion Only thing is, they do it a little bit differently. But as a martial artist studies yoga.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know that a lot of these schisms broke off their splinter cells from Hinduism anyway. From Buddhism to Taoism, Shintoism, all of them are splinter cells of Hinduism.
Hinduism is the core.
Yeah.
Behind all of this.
Exactly. Exactly. I try to tell people this. Sometimes they look at me like, what are you talking about? But, you know, all people have to do is do the research. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
But this is interesting. The westernized version of it is centered around materialism,
mm-hmm.
wealth. In fact, I'm going to share two events. One happened in the early 80s before I received the Lord as my savior. My real estate company was in Compton, the city of Compton, which is it's a black neighborhood. And so there was this guy, his name was Joe Ryerson. He called himself the Millionaire Maker. And he wanted to make a name for himself. So he wanted to come into the black neighborhood and find him some young people and teach them how to become millionaires. So he came into my offices and driving a really expensive car, said, I'm going to make y'all into millionaires. I'm going to teach you the principles of being a millionaire. You know, one of the things that he said that I had to do, he said, I had to join the church. So he took me to the church that millionaires go to. You know what church that was? It was the Crystal Cathedral. With Schiller. And the event that he took us to a special meeting where Schiller, the Crystal Cathedral wasn't built yet. And he had a model of the Crystal Cathedral cost him, I think he said it was like $25,000 to build the model.
Mm-hmm.
And he was demonstrating all the technology that was involved in it. And, you know, and when they built it, they were going to have this opening night. And I think the tickets were going to sell for like $5,000 a person to come to the Crystal Cathedral's opening.
Wow, man.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
And so, so remember, he's teaching us to be millionaires and says we have to come to the right church. That's part of the mindset of being a millionaire. That's what he was teaching. Now, another instance. My tax office, and in my tax office, I do openly speak about the Word of God. So people come in all the time, and they're all the time trying to lead me to the Word of Faith movement. What they don't know is I came out of the Word of Faith. Mm-hmm. I knew more about the Word of Faith movement than most of them could even imagine. I read everything Hagen wrote, Price wrote, all of them. I read all their material. I listened to their tapes. I attended their 24-hour events before the Lord in a split second showed me all that was wrong with it. But I went in my office and one day these guys talking to me about how the Bible teaches us that we are to live in prosperity and et cetera, and that by faith we were going to be, that we would have, you know, could go through. So I said, come in, let's talk. So I took the book of Hebrews, which I knew which chapter he was coming from, and I know they only focus on like the first 5 or 10 verses. And I started telling him, yeah, and you know by faith that people were literally sawn in half. And that by faith, you know, by faith, people were literally stoned to death. And I kept going through this litany, and the guy looked at me and said, are you crazy? He said, that's not by faith. You by faith, you don't get sawn in half. You know, I said, oh, but it's right there written in the Hebrews 11. So I pulled him in, and I took him through the scriptures. And you know what he told me? That's not in my Bible. I said, yes, it is. You just haven't read it. Because what the Word of Faith movement does, they take you through certain scriptures, and then they don't complete it. They'll take you somewhere else.
Oh, some dangerous ground there.
They pick and choose. They do the exact same thing that Jehovah's Witnesses do.
Yeah.
They do the exact thing Mormons do. They all do the same thing. They pick and choose the scriptures they want to guide you to, and they learn to go to the key scriptures that they want to use to twist in rapid-fire succession.
Yeah.
They don't want to give you a chance to think or to ask questions or to mm-hmm. look at what the Word of God is really saying. They don't want you to understand the context
of
what they are quoting to you comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And you notice, like they said, you got to come to the real church. They always marginalize everyone else but themselves.
Exactly. Every group does the same thing.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So I mean, this is an interesting subject because I don't hear a lot of people talk about it a lot. They usually keep it to just Hinduism, and even though that's the root, maybe they don't have the knowledge or the foresight. I don't know, but to spread it all out, it's good to see the overview, the bird's eye view of everything. Because once you know the root and how it spreads, then you'll be more informed. When you see Christian yoga coming into your church, red flag.
Yeah, and not just Christian yoga, because I do have a friend of mine that was his thing. He was going to teach Christian, not yoga, but Christian martial arts, because he was going to remove all the occult.
All right, yeah.
I told him, I don't think
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
and I think he's given up trying, but
they don't work the same. And remember, scripture also says the weapons of our warfare is not carnal.
Correct.
So we're not talking about carnal weaponry. You know, we're talking about something that's mightier than this. And this is what Jesus was alluding to when he was talking to Pilate, when he said, "Hey, listen, I can call on angels to come immediately." And he didn't understand this. And, you know, the same thing with us. We are, based on Ephesians 6, we're in a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And there are things that we are not to do. There are some spiritual forces, which I consider to be the source, Satan and his compadres, okay, so that you will get the there's certain things we are not to do. I don't care, even if you can manipulate forces, the Bible tells us we're not to do it. That is evil.
Don't be a part of it.
Don't be a part of it. And unfortunately, I see it in various stages. Martial arts is one, just one. But what really gets to me is the insidious way it has been infiltrated into the mainline churches.
Yeah.
And the key, the number one tool is prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Secondary is healing. And it's as if the church, certain elements of the church, want to use an inferior method, okay, of being prosperous, and they want an inferior prosperity. The prosperity of man is an inferior prosperity. The prosperity of the Holy Spirit, okay? And yeah, when you may go through a Job experience, okay? You may die. You may get sick. You may go through abject poverty. But when you have the wealth of God, you're
Amen.
Thriving when you shouldn't.
Amen.
And when I say thriving, true. I mean you're like the apostle. He said, I learned to rejoice content. Even when I'm in the battle.
Right.
So you have a spiritual connection with God that gives you a security and a confidence that gives you a peace even when it shouldn't be.
Right.
Because you know this is all temporal. And to me, when your focus is just on, and don't get me wrong, I do spend a certain portion of my life trying to get money, but quite frankly, with or without it, I don't care. Because that's not my source.
Right.
Yep. Amen.
Okay.
Jesus is the source.
Correct. So whether I have it or not is irrelevant when it comes to my peace.
Amen.
But in the church, that is used as a draw, because people, especially here in America, we want our piece of the pie. And if you can get it through speaking it into existence, through using your imagination, you know, like Paul Yonggi Cho used to teach, and he would see that it was like the birthing period. This is all a part of that seed of faith movement, incidentally, but now it's not just your money that's a seed, it's your words that are seeds, and it's your thoughts that are seeds, and that these seeds begin to grow until birth is given to whatever it is you're trying to achieve, your desire. That's purely occulted.
Amen. That's true.
Another way of manipulating forces.
Yeah. And also what you'll find, too, is Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah, being intertwined, too. And that's all up in businesses and and corporate offices. So you'll find it sometimes in exercise. It's just masked as something else, or given a new clinical term. Some of these practices, which go right back to New Age, which is all about the same. To me, it's just all different names for witchcraft. You do something to get something. You say the word to do this. You do the breathing to get this or whatever. It's all the same to me.
Yeah, and it's all the same. But there's some things that are really is. For instance, I don't know if you've heard of a organization they call Pyramid. They're called Pyramid. They used to be called. They have another name. But anyway,
multi-level marketing.
No, they're not in multi-level. They a lot of people in multi-level marketing use their principles, but this is an organization that is very wealthy, have a lot of money, but they are they have no qualms that they're using occultic methods to achieve prosperity. They're big into corporate America, okay? And so one time I had a public speaking event, which I had sponsored, and I had this other guy, we were speaking and we kind of clicked. And so I invited him to go to a conference with me, a Bible conference. And on the way to the conference, he said, I'm going to share with you something I'll never share with anybody else. I'm the reincarnation of Mahatma Gandhi. And then he said, I'm going to pay your way to attend. It was called Landmark. They changed the name from, because Pyramid got into the news at that time and they got a bad rep. So they changed their name to Landmark Education. They're still a very wealthy organization. So he said he's going to pay my way. So I knew I shouldn't go because I knew who they were. But my curiosity was just so, I just had to see. I said, I just got to go see. I said, I promise. I said, I'll just sit through it. I won't disrupt. But I just had to see. And I'm serious, man. They took you through not just breathing exercises, but they were showing you how to imagine, take things and use your imagination to create reality. In other words, you imagine something, and if you can imagine it strong enough, it becomes real. And they were taking you through these various exercises to do this. And then this is the kicker. They said that we have different programs for different organizations. We even have one for churches, because a lot of church people, he said, are resistant to these ideas. So we've learned to be able to teach them utilizing their own words. And we said we especially target the inner city churches. And so we have a training where we teach you how to use the Bible and to speak in the language of that, to bring them slowly into the understanding of utilizing these principles that we're teaching to be able to attract whatever it is they want in life. I'm literally, they just literally have a plan to infiltrate churches. Scientologists do too.
Yeah, yeah. It's always about taking down the foundations of Jesus Christ.
But for some reason, they always, they all have this interest in infiltrating the churches with their teachings.
Mm-hmm. It's always about attacking Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And this is the other thing. They are so good. Most Christians, I could tell you now, they can walk into a very fundamentally sound church and they can slowly bring in their teachings and nobody will even realize how they're doing it.
Yeah. But it's just as covert as what the witches do. They'll have these covens and they'll come in and sow seeds of discord, gossip, da 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 da. But these people are probably less as, abrasive.
Yeah. The ones that sow discord are my least word. The ones that don't sow discord are the ones that I think are the worst.
Yeah. You'll never know. Mm-hmm. Until things start changing, you're like, what happened? What happened? Okay.
Lord.
Yeah.
But, and it goes back to God's word. We have to continually renew our minds with his word. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Putting off the things of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, taking those things off. And we need to walk towards that mark. The mark is Christ. We need to run the race with patience, and he's the author and finisher of our faith, and that's it. And, one of the things that I love to look at is this particular scripture in the book in Jude, where it says that we as Christians need to contend for the faith. which was given to us. Fight for what is what God had given us, has given us, and not to allow these men that creep in unawares that are trying to lead us to a path of destruction.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this, if you don't know doctrine and understand the principles taught in the Word of God, I'm not talking about knowing some scriptures.
Yep.
I'm not talking about being able to go through the basic process of leading someone to Christ in prayer. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about doctrine that begins mm-hmm. in Genesis and ends in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? True. If you don't know that, deception will come. I was part of that, not intentionally. Like I said, when I got saved, I was attracted to the Word of Faith movement powerfully. I was into it. But the Lord had me go to a church that was fundamentally sound. And I would pray to leave that church. And every time I would get this vision of a plumb line. And so I decided that maybe what the Lord wanted me to do is to lead this church to the Word of Faith movement. So I was teaching Word of Faith principles there for years, preaching it from the pulpit for years. And this church was totally against the Word of Faith movement, and nobody wow. knew what I was doing. They didn't even understand. I was even getting them to follow some of the teachings.
Mm.
Unaware. Even the pastor, who if I had mentioned any of these people from the Word of Faith, well, he would have had a conniption fit.
Mm.
When Kenny Ulmer, because he actually, this past, my pastor, he helped Kenny Ulmer become the pastor of the church before he bought the Forum and all those other places. I remember one of the he had passed away, but the other pastor that was there, he came in to the church one day, all sad. He said, Kenny Ulmer has gone over to the other side. And I said to myself, now by the time that came, I began to understand what was wrong with the Word of Faith. But a part of me was saying, yeah, but you don't even understand the insidiousness of how this practice is going on right here in this church under your nose,
because
I was one of the people doing it.
Mm-mm-mm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's important to know doctrine. And that's why I like to research and study the Bible as much as I can, because I like to know where things come from.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started hearing about yoga stuff, I wasn't really a word I was familiar with through most of my life. Then it started getting popular. Yoga, 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 yoga. What's this? Yoga. Okay, let me see. What's online? Gods of the New Age by Carol Matriciana. And when I saw what that was, that opened my eyes. Oh, my goodness. What's this? Kundalini?
Yeah, how many churches got yoga mats?
Yeah.
Lots yeah. of them.
Yoga balls, yoga mats. They even have some respected Christian training material that has some yoga in it.
Mm-hmm.
So people are not trying to find out the origin of things. Because it's popular and it's supposed to be just an exercise. Oh, well, let's put it in. It's nothing. It's not. It's harmless. When those demons start manifesting, wherever they manifest, you'll see something.
It opens the possibility for you to be led astray, because you can go beyond just the physical portion and you start getting into the spiritual aspects
yeah.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you now enter into a whole world of occultic or spiritual realm of darkness that, quite frankly, can pull you in so completely that you will have a hard time getting out of it.
Yeah. And like I said before, what I go back to is what the gurus or the God men say, that you cannot separate the two. That's my baseline right there. They're saying it. They're rooted in. They believe they're gods, and they're telling you this. And I'm like, okay, I don't want anything to do with it. I went to watch Kung Fu Panda, and this stuff was all through it. I mean, not you know, surprisingly, but you know, it was more ramped up in part 3. Very spiritual, going into the spiritual realm. Go ahead.
They're trying to do this in all the movies now for the kids to be led astray from a very early age.
Yeah, and I have two things here to read. One is, you know, there's a book out there called Kai Gong, The Secret Youth. And that book, if you look into the history of it, you could tell that it was given by a demon. The knowledge in it was given by a demon. You just have to do your research. I don't have everything in front of me right now, but look that up and see what the story is behind that. And another one is, this is from the Principles of Krav Maga. It says, we live in two realms, two dimensions, the spiritual and the material. So to live an effective life, both aspects must be addressed. The spiritual contains the real power, but the natural is a trigger to release it. The two must work in harmony. And this goes back to Hinduism. Same thing.
That sounds like a lot of the stuff that was taught in the college that I attended. Mm-hmm. The college bookstore was full of books that taught a similar teaching, and many classes that taught that, especially in the social sciences.
Yeah. I think Rory needs to leave. Step out. I'll continue.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, sir. It was wonderful. The Lord bless you and keep you.
It has been a pleasure speaking with you, brother, today.
Alrighty.
All right. Later, bye-bye. Dude. I'll continue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right. And then here's another quote. This is from Joseph Cardillo, martial artist and author. He says, one of the greatest gifts of the martial arts is that they ultimately guide us to new levels of spirituality.
You know, once again, it's about forces. It's about trying to tap into that invisible so-called spiritual world, okay, and to use it to bring prosperity into this physical world that we live in. So you want to tap into one universe, one world, and bring it into and use it to bring the reality that we're living in, okay, in such a way that the reality that we're living in is of your own making. Yeah. In essence, you become God.
Yeah, back to the New Age again, and all of these, you know, what people think are different religions, but they're really just the same thing. You know, not all roads lead to heaven.
And this has been going on from the beginning. There's a book written by Dr. Henry Morris. See if I can remember the name of it. The Long War Against God. Similar title to the title that the pastor is using in his sermons. Mm-hmm. Only he goes into tracing the history, and he's using evolution as his basis. Mm-hmm. But evolution, as he shows, really is a part of Hinduism, is a part of many of these Eastern concepts, as well as the what they call hermeneutics, magic, witchcraft. All of these things are all, in one way or another, connected to the idea that God did not create the heavens and the earth.
Okay.
Okay. And he goes back beyond the Tower of Babel. And he gives evidence. He pulls up a lot of research. He went into that. It's a must read if you're going to deal in this topic.
It's like going back into the antediluvian world.
Yeah. He starts in Genesis and works his way all through. He shows you how these principles, a lot of people think that these concepts started with Darwin. They did not. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then he also shows how Darwin's rise in popularity was unprecedented. It was a demonic act, a demonic influence that is the only way he could have risen the way he did.
I totally agree. To me, evolution is a religion. Or scientism, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, but the roots of it, once again, is to pull you away from God himself. It's to elevate you.
As God.
As God.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, speaking of infiltration and all these other ideas, a friend of mine sent me two letters that was sent through her job. Right? And I won't name the name of the person, but it's from the South Florida Behavioral Health Network, or Hope for Miami, right? And they want the, here's what it says, the goal of the training is to provide everyone with an overview of the Haitian voodoo religious belief and practices to mental health practitioners and familiarize them with this history of this belief system and the unique conceptualizations of causes of illnesses and healing practices encountered in this religion. Right? Mm-hmm. And they say the same thing about Santeria. It's two different training programs, and they said the goal is to provide everyone with an overview of the Afro-Cuban Santeria religious beliefs and practices of mental health practitioners and familiarize them with the history. Same thing, right? But here we go. We're going into not just learning the history of this form of witchcraft, but also the practices to implement the practices within the organization. I'm like, what?
But you know, like, let's look what they're talking about. Mental health, health, living a better quality life. When if you look at that, the followers of Santeria and Buddhism is a part of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you go there, anything but healthy and prosperous they are. It is a cesspool of degradation.
Yeah. And this went on in 2017. You know, they'll probably do it again. But again, it's like, okay, if I want to know the background on these religions, yeah, fine, whatever. But now the practices are coming in. And you think that, you know, being a CLC will just be something innocent. Oh, my goodness. Then you will wonder why some of these people are going nuts in these places. Or are already nuts. Or not just nuts, but possessed, if you want to go there.
And these movements, they grow in the prosperity. When I say the prosperity, I'm not necessarily using it this term in a negative sense. I'm talking about people that are just trying to improve their life. They want to start businesses. They want to move up the corporate ladder. They want to enrich themselves. And so they begin to be taught numerous different disciplines that are really all the same. See, right. Way back in the 80s, it was EST. I don't know if you ever heard of them. It was called EST. Uh-uh. It's the same thing as what that group that you just mentioned was teaching, only they weren't using Haitian. They were just using a lot of Eastern teachings. In the 80s, especially, a lot of businesses, that especially those that dealt with sales, they would bring these people from EST into their sales rooms to help teach their salespeople to be better, to be more prosperous by utilizing these principles. So they weren't taught as Eastern mysticism. They were taught as principles of prosperity to be a better salesperson, to be a better representative and help make more money for yourself and the company. And the company would pay for it because they believed that they were getting results.
Doesn't this remind you of Babylon?
Of course it does. In fact, my sister, she worked as a salesperson with, I think it was Buick. Anyway, all the sales staff were required to go through S training. And that was after she was saved. She didn't know God. That was after, because I knew what S, because S and Pyramid and Landmark Education are all part, they sprang from each other. Another one is called Life Spring. They had TV commercials on, and they're still around today. Mm-hmm. They just keep changing their names, but they're the same organizations. One organization springs from another and goes to another. If you pick up any book on the occult, they're going to cover one group or another of those folks, but they move into corporate America. They move in. They found a powerful home. You know, a lot of people that are in network marketing, I'm not saying all, but you cannot be in network marketing without coming across it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, because everybody is trying to be more prosperous, and a lot of, and they don't really, and it's cloaked. It's cloaked because if you told them that they were following Eastern mysticism, they run. If you told them it was a cult, they would run. If you told them it was magic, they would run.
Right.
If you tell them this is a way to to help you to attract more prosperity, to get more sales, to get more people to join your organization, to be able to get, you know, better, more finances so that you can help your family, then it becomes something different.
Yeah, I used to see a lot of that growing up when I would, apply for different jobs. I'll see some things, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't super awake to it or anything, I would see some of those principles in there.
Yeah, it's there. It's become a part of our economic structure to a certain extent. And fortunately, it doesn't really work as well as they was, so they phase out.
Yeah, yeah.
But they come back.
There's an institute that I'm thinking about that I can't remember, man, from over in Europe that helped like the Beatles and stuff to come over here. And they infiltrated American corporations, and you can't get to a certain level without going through their training.
I don't even remember the name, but I kind of know what you're talking about. I've heard of a similar organization, not just the Beatles, though. It was more than them.
Yeah, yeah, correct. Liberty. Ah, there we go. Tavistock.
What's it called?
The Tavistock Institute.
Tavistock. Okay, never heard of that one.
Oh, that's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. Let me try to find the information. I'm going to see. Tavistock Institute was formed in 1947. The Tavistock Institute is an independent, not-for-profit organization which seeks to combine research in the social sciences with professional practice. Problems of institution building and organizational design and charge of being tackled in all sectors, government, industry, and commerce, health and welfare, education, etc., nationally and internationally, and clients range from multinationals to small company groups. A growth area has been the use of a development approach to evaluation of new and experimental programs, particularly in health, education, and community development. This has also produced new training events alongside the regular program of group relations, conferences. The Institute owns and edits the monthly journal Human Relations, published by Plenum Press, which is now in its 48th year and has recently launched, in conjunction with Sage Publications, a new journal evaluation. And this is a PDF you can find online, The Tavistock Institute, the Best Kept Secret in America. And it goes on here. The Tavistock Institute developed the mass brainwashing techniques, which were first used experimentally on American prisoners in war in Korea. Its experiments is crowd control methods have in crowd control methods have been widely used and the on the American public. A surreptitious but nevertheless outrageous assault on human freedom by modifying individual behavior through topical psychology. A German refugee, Kurt Lewin, became director of Tavistock in 1932. He came to the U.S. in 1933 as a refugee, quote unquote, the first of many infiltrators, and set up the Harvard Psychology Clinic, which originated the propaganda campaign to turn the American public against Germany and involve us in World War II. That's just part of their stuff. It goes on and on. But there's a part in here, Kissinger and all these people, and you know, MK Ultra, it's a whole bunch of stuff. But they were in the corporate area. You couldn't get to a certain level without going through their training.
Yeah, and they're not the only one. I kind of did a look up. I found them on Wikipedia. I'm gonna take some time to look at them. But
Brookings Institution,
behavior modification is really what this is about.
Right,
part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really demonic.
Yeah,
they didn't talk about Tavistock, mm-hmm. but from what I'm reading, some of the concepts you'll find in Carl Jung's teaching, you'll find in B.F. Skinner's teachings, and these were people that we had to learn about and understand when I was in college, because I had moved to the social sciences, and that's when I started being exposed to all these different individuals.
Okay.
And I really didn't realize until I started studying the Word of God, part of the reason that the Lord wanted me to be exposed to them is so that I can see these connections.
Yeah. And like you said, they have different institutions. It says here, the Flow Laboratories, Merle Thomas Corporation, Walden Research, Planning Research Corporation, the Brookings Institute, which is one of the institutes that actually trains us about UFOs and stuff. It was them that really started to inject that thought into the American psyche. And then you have the Hudson Institute and National Training Laboratories, and on it goes. So, yeah, it's all the same concept, all the same teaching, training, and it's like an octopus with many tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, as far as, like, going back to the martial arts and, like, going into entertainment now, many of the superheroes and others, they use techniques out of this form of study. Batman went to Tibet to get his training. As far as in some of the incarnations of him, especially in the Batman movies, that the trilogy that Christopher Nolan directed, he went to Tibet. So did Iron Fist. He went to Tibet. What's said is that he was picked up as a child. But anyway, he went through training in Kung Lao to be this kind of guardian with this mystic power that flows through his fist. Of course, it's the force, the chi, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Daredevil uses the same techniques, Arrow, and many, many others. So it's not, that's why some people are so intrigued. So many people are intrigued with it because it's everywhere. It's in your comic books, it's in your TV shows, it's in your movies, and it looks, you know, awesome when you see someone take someone down, not in a natural way.
Well, what's really interesting, because when you talk about these comic book characters, in the 60s, it wasn't so much so. But as you started getting closer to the 80s and 90s, they started creating what are called origin series.
Right.
And they had, you know, and they kept experimenting with it, but mainly they started taking him, like you said. Now, all of a sudden, Batman, who was originally a gymnast,
mm-hmm.
and Robin, who were gymnasts, and they became gymnastic experts, who then took their gymnastic skills into a fighting skill.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, they weren't gymnasts anymore. Now they have to go back to the ancient school where they're learning the secret fighting skills based in some Hinduistic philosophy, where they learn to utilize their kundalini and all these different manipulative forces to be able to hone their fighting skills. And now that's become a common theme.
Yeah. Yeah,
these things were not prevalent in the 50s and 60s.
Right. Yeah, it's like after the sexual revolution right there with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and all these people that would bring this stuff over here. And, you know, when I was growing up, you know, in the 70s, Bruce Lee, you know, that was a big thing. Enter the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first exposure to all of this stuff. Of course, again, like I said, the Sunday karate flicks, and sometime on Saturdays too. And it never really never took hold of me. Like, oh, let me go practice this, or let me whatever. It was just interesting, you know, seeing them fight or whatever. And you had groups like Wu-Tang Clan out of hip hop that would they would bear the that culture in their music. The kung fu and all this stuff, and the way that it would sound in the 70s, they put those sounds in their music and all that, and it would get you even more interested in that sort of culture.
Yeah, and by the time you got to the 70s, that's when you really started seeing things shifting.
Yeah,
and when I'm saying shifting, I'm talking about in the comic book world and even in the way science fiction stories were being written. Science fiction community have always been there, but
mm-hmm.
the writers, when you started getting into the 70s, so to speak, there was a change in the degree and prolificness of introducing Eastern mysticism in almost everything.
Yeah, it was a cultural shift. A lot of things that weren't permitted before, and I'm not talking about necessarily the martial arts, but, you know, things that weren't culturally acceptable, like lesbianism, premarital sex, drug use, smoking, a whole bunch of things, they skyrocketed after the sexual revolution, or, you know, the rock and roll era. Correct. In the middle of all that. Go ahead.
Yeah, because see, there was a period of time when I was coming up, if they showed a husband and wife in a bedroom, they had two separate beds.
Yeah, I remember that. So, like some people would say, this is not how Ozzy and Harriet anymore. Leave it to Beaver. It's totally different. I mean, the amount of sexual stuff that you see on TV nowadays, you don't have to go turn on porn. It's there already.
No, it's there. it's shocking me to what I'm seeing right now. Because I mean, I was expecting it. I just wasn't expecting it to this degree, this fast.
Right, right. These are the symptoms of the culture. How our nation and others have changed. First, it was slowly. Then, I believe, since the 90s, it got rapid. And when the early 2000s came, it got even more rapid. And right around 2000, I would say 2013, 14, it started escalating a lot. Right after gay marriage, oh my gosh. Everything just started skyrocketing. And now you're seeing, you know, a couple hints of bestiality. A couple of hints?
Uh-uh.
Oh boy, I mean, it's getting bad. But since
it's hard to watch TV nowadays.
Yeah, there's a lot of things
without just can't a fast watch. Forward button. I couldn't watch half the stuff, and even it's getting to a point. Even with the fast forward button, I'm probably going to end up stopping altogether.
Yeah, that's what I've done with a lot of programs. There is one called The Ozarks. It's on Netflix, I believe, and the FBI agent turns out to be a sodomite, and he is encouraging this other guy that he's, you know, trying to be his handler, but the guy doesn't know, and he ends up in a sodomite relationship with him, and they show it, but somebody told me they show it. As soon as I saw a hint, I skipped that scene really quickly. But like you said, you need a fast forward button. It's like almost all the shows you need fast forward.
Have you seen Black Lightning, the new show they got out?
Yeah, when his daughter ends up finally in the second episode, they usually wait, but in the second episode, she's showing that she's a sodomite lesbian with another woman. Yeah,
yeah, but not only that, the parent, the way they're portraying them as the parents.
Yeah, like
like it was just it was just normal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, like nothing is wrong. Yeah, and I see a lot of other shows like that. Yeah, it's what's wrong with that? It's normal. Okay, and it's the people that are going to suffer from this, obviously, is the generation coming up, or generations, I should say. You know, it overlaps a little bit. One, because some of them aren't biblically trained or even Christians, they have no clue. They just think this is normal because they see the world moving this way.
And they're being taught. See, it's a reinforcement after reinforcement. Mm-hmm. You go into your schools and it's being reinforced in the schools. Then it's being reinforced in the commercials. Then it's being reinforced in the movies. Then it's being reinforced by the news. Okay? Till all of a sudden, it's mainstream.
Yeah. The way that I saw, well, you know, I came from Miami, and I saw it just, not even on TV, just culturally, just right there, it was changing rapidly. I did, this one woman, I don't know what she was, if she was straight or gay, I don't know, came into a Walmart with men's boxers on. That's it. I mean, she had a top on, of course, but the bottom was men's boxers. Nothing else. Nothing else. And then And then out every other aisle, you see these women holding hands. I'm like, oh, what is this? This is getting weird, you know? But, you know, once you tell people that sin is okay, this is the result.
Hey, when they started having gay vampires, that was like, okay.
Yeah. But you know what? You know what, Mr. Kenny? That right there wouldn't shock me as much. Because, you know, when they did the unveiling of the Baphomet in Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. I said, before I even saw the inside of the video, you know, the rest of the video, I said, I bet you that they're going to have two men kissing. I didn't know this. I just, something came to my mind. And as soon as they unveiled it, these two Satanists got up there, and guess what they did? Kissed. And you know that the vampirism and the werewolf stuff all goes back to folklore and witchcraft. So that right there wouldn't surprise me as much, the vampires doing that. But when you see all of these shows that are pretending to be regular.
I know it shouldn't shock me, but you know, I'm back from the Bela Lugosi days when I was a kid.
Me too. I mean,
we would go to the theaters and it was just like 10 cent. And the first time you saw, you would never think of a vampire or a werewolf as being gay.
Yeah, so
That was just a new concept for me.
Yeah, it was all surface level.
I'm 65, remember. I'm not.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it was all surface level back then. But I guess the reason, another reason I'm not that surprised of it wouldn't be necessarily my upbringing. But just doing some of the research into some of these cultures and, Babylon and all these places and what would occur in Greece and Rome and, you know, you got the orgies and with orgies, you know, it's not just straight people. You know, and there, you know, things happen. And I remember some of these musicians would tell their stories to other people. I'm not going to call the name now because I can't verify it. But they said that the dude, a male musician, very famous too, that is now deceased, would rent out a hotel room floor. And what they would do is play this game where you jump into a room and whoever you end up with, whether male or female, that's who you're sleeping with. And then you keep jumping rooms. So these practices, and they're bringing this stuff into the movies, you know? So I guess that's why I wouldn't be so, you know, surprised at the vampire stuff that much. And you know, I haven't watched a vampire.
You know, you got to remember, I'm not really surprised. It's just that when I first saw it, it was like, oh, wow, now you know, not even the vampires are gay.
Yeah. No, I get exactly where you're coming from. Yeah. You know, exactly where you're coming from.
And the superheroes are gay now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's all over the comic books. It's been there for a good few years now, several years now.
It's now on the TV, too.
Yeah, I see it. I see. That's why I stopped watching the CW shows like Supergirl and Arrow and Flash, and it's just all over the place with those people. And the producer is a sodomite, so no surprise there. And it's probably the same producer behind Black Lightning.
I wouldn't be surprised because those things are all in there. But the problem is, I look at my little granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's only 2 years old.
Yeah.
What is she going to be dealing with if the Lord delays his coming?
Mm-hmm.
This world, it's going to exceed Sodom and Gomorrah. It's already exceeded Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah,
but it's going to exceed it on a scale unprecedented.
Exactly. And what I'm looking at here is not just the lewdness, the terrible physical sins, but the stuff going on with the tech too. Because you have the virtual reality, you have the sex thing, and all these things that you could do through tech without reaching or touching somebody else, you know? And I tell people, I said, the next, I would say 10 years, just 10, you're not going to recognize this world because of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And when it comes out, you've been warned before. Well, some aren't even listening or aren't even checking out the programs, but many people are talking about these issues. And my estimation, I think the church that the part of the body of Christ is not awake to it or going along with it we'll be very surprised at the things that are coming upon the earth.
Yeah. And that's why part of me, and I, even though there's no way of knowing, I suspect the church may not be around when it gets to that point.
And I would agree.
But it might be, because we don't know. But
I feel like some of it, I don't know if God is going to let us get that far. But, you know, the description of the Great Tribulation is, it ain't pretty, you know?
No, it ain't.
Yeah, and I feel like we're already seeing some of it. It's just that, depending on where you live, if it's slow or fast, you know, it seems like a regular day. So there's going to become a time, I believe, soon, that a regular day is not going to be a regular day anymore.
I agree. I mean, you have this very strong movement where people now saying there are more classifications of a person. You can be a male, you can be a woman, and you can be another.
Right. 85 different classifications.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
They've gone beyond just homosexuality. It's like...
Yeah. I think that's prepping for something else. Because now in California, you can get arrested for calling somebody he or she.
Yeah, I heard that. That's when, you know, I saw, let me be honest with you, one part of the reason I left California wasn't just because of the economics. I was just seeing things going on. And it bugged me because, see, I could not figure out why the churches weren't up in arms.
Yeah.
But it's not just really in California. I've shared this before. And I'm going to share it here because this is an indicator of where I have an issue with a lot of the churches, even churches that I happen to very much love being a part of. But when Clinton first gave his first speech, when he accepted the nomination as the candidate for the Democratic Party, the first one.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest with you. Prior to that point, I never paid any attention to politics. I was not interested. It didn't. To the degree that I watch stuff now, you would think that I must have been like, but no, I had no interest. But I'm reading the Bible. And I'm beginning to see this connection between the leadership of a nation, because I'm reading the Old Testament, and I'm really seeing leadership, and I'm seeing how nations' leaders affect the whole nation. And I'm looking at the principles of God. And I'm thinking, now you have to understand, I was very naive for the first time in my life. I actually listened intently to a politician, because everybody that I knew was a Democrat. I was a Democrat, my mama, daddy, everybody in the church, everywhere I went, that's what you're supposed to be if you're black. Okay? So I'm listening because I'm reading the Bible, I'm studying it, I'm learning stuff, and I'm thinking everybody's doing the same because, you know, we're talking about these issues. I'm hearing it, things being preached from the pulpit and all these different things. And I listen to his speech, and my mouth drops. And I'm like, wow, the Antichrist is coming.
Yeah.
I had visions in my head that the next day I was going to hear pastors in pulpits riot speaking about how we have to come against this Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that when I go to church the next morning, people are going to be up in arms. I walk into the church. I have a pretty big class, and I'm like, wow, did you hear this? And I began to talk about how we I almost got ran out of church that day. It took me a long time to try and figure out what the heck just happened.
Yeah.
Did I misunderstand something? This man is he was even promising that he was going to have them more homosexuals in his cabinet than any other president.
Mm-hmm.
This is in his not when he was president. This is when he won the nominee in the primaries, and he was giving his acceptance speech. He promised to do this.
Oh. And at that time, I was pretty much dead to politics.
Yeah, well, this is my first time. I'm just telling you, this is the very first time that I paid any attention to politics and to what was being said. Not only did I not hear any outrage from I didn't even hear any real outrage from all the Christian radio stations, because that's all I ever listened to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No outrage from some of the most respected teachers of our day, still respected to this day, sound biblical teachers, not a word of outrage. An occasional, after he became president, they would point some things out, and he did, but nobody seemed to pay any attention. And I see that today to an even greater degree. People can sit in church all day long. And I kind of thought that, well, maybe it's because they don't understand. That's when I started really getting into apologetics.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of into that state where I think if people don't really, when I say doctrine, I don't just mean the doctrine of salvation. I mean the doctrine of life itself, because homosexuality, transgenderism is a flat out denial that God exists.
Yeah.
If you accept that, if you tolerate that, you're saying God does not exist, because God made man and female. And you saying that does not exist.
Destroying the image of God.
You're saying he made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what he was doing.
That goes into all of the body modifications. People want to, you know, split their tongue into, do all sorts of stuff to make themselves look like animals. There's a couple of people out there that they're trying to make themselves look like black-eyed aliens. Most of these people's mantra is love yourself.
Yep.
But yet Jesus said to deny yourself. But even if you were going to go along with that mantra, what love are you really showing yourself by destroying your own features? It's just weird to me.
It should be, because it is weird. But you know what? I'm going to have to sign off. It's about 2:00.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm enjoying this conversation, and it's one that more needs to be in the church. The church really, I know a lot of people totally disagree with me on this, but the church really needs to pay attention to what's going on in the political realm.
I agree. I totally agree.
But it's a topic that nobody wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear any conversation about politicians from the place. It's like there's this teaching now that says the church has to stay out of politics.
Yeah.
And you can't get into it because you're going to make people upset. There's too many disagreements. You can't talk about politics. You can say politicians are, evil or something like that, general, but you can't get into no specifics.
Yeah.
You can't talk about a particular teaching that a particular podcast, because you're just not supposed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. What I found out in my own life is most of the people I was surrounded with before were really liberals. And they're on the liberal side of the agenda. Not totally, not too much on the crazy stuff, but mainly on the political ideology of that side. And I'm like, wow. So I'm not really hanging around most of those people anymore, so whatever.
Yeah, well, same here. But even in those circles where they're not, they still don't touch in those topics.
Yeah.
It's a no-no topic.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the classic things people will say to me is something, well, Jesus didn't talk about politics. Huh? The apostles didn't talk about politics. Huh? And the truth of the matter, they did, but you got to understand they were in the Roman Empire. Yeah. They couldn't talk. Yeah. But they had no say-so. Mm-hmm. They didn't elect who was going to be the in charge of the who was going to be this next season. Heck, they weren't even citizens.
Yeah. And, you know, people have been trained to think this way. When you're having a conversation, you don't bring up politics or religion. So that I think that's a part of it, too.
That is absolutely. They're considered no-nos. Mm-hmm. Because they're so controversial.
Yeah, for me, I just bring it up anyway. If you're going to dislike me because of my views, then oh, fine, whatever. You know, I bring it up anyway. Because I think that a lot of the issues going on right now are important day by day, and it's going to affect your future. So with that said, thank you for joining the show, and hope to have you back soon.
Okay.
And if you could bring us out with a gospel message, please.
Sure. This world, okay, is changing rapidly, but at the same time, this world is still the same. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. There still is such a thing as absolutes. There still is such a thing as truth. And the word of God is truth. But you got to pick it up. You got to open it up and read it and study it. When you do, you're going to come to the realization there really is one God and one Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can save your soul is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. To accept him as your Savior, to know him, to receive him. When you do that, the Holy Spirit will touch you in a way you never imagined. Some of you will be dramatic, some will be subtle. But the Holy Spirit will be there with you. And as you begin to walk with Christ, as you begin to learn about the power of his love, you will realize the blessings that he's pouring forth upon you. So I urge you to take a leap of faith, to put Jesus as the head of your life, and to declare him Lord and allow the word of God through the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you throughout this life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. I really hope that a lot of you listening that aren't saved just heed to the message. And until our next show, remember everyone out there that are reaching the lost for Jesus Christ, don't let them burn. If you like our videos, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and the notification bell to get all our frequent updates.